Good morning. Last night was a rough night at our house. As many of you know, Stephanie's a Tennessee Volunteer fan and a faithful fan. And so OU playing Tennessee last night, you know, the first part of the game went a lot better for her. She was having a lot better time. And then I was having a lot better time the end of the game. And then she got mad, and I couldn't understand why. I only said two words to her, and evidently the words boomer and sooner was all it took. And next thing I know, I'm running from her, and the fight is on. But then I had her on her hands and knees begging. She was begging. And she was saying, come out from under that bed and fight like a man. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We have a one thing I want to mention while you're turning. We have a drive collecting clothing, food items, and toiletries for the homeless, and that runs till the 20th. And I wanted to mention that we can use more non-perishable food items and more toiletries. We could use more of those items. We've had a lot of clothing donated, and a big thanks to all who've helped with that and shown care and concern for those who are really struggling. So just wanted to mention that. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Today we're going to look at this occasion where Mary and Martha have Jesus into their home. And so verse 38 says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And so here we have this time together in a home, and it's Martha's home. She's the hostess. And so Jesus is there, his disciples are there, and Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And so here you have a home, and the food is being prepared, and Martha is, it's her home, and she has Jesus, the Messiah. She has the Son of God in her home. Can you imagine how exciting that would be to have Jesus in your home? I mean, what would that be like? We get excited to have people in our home, but what would it be like to have Jesus, the Son of God, Messiah, God Himself, in your home? Well, verse 39 says, as I read, she has a sister, Mary. Martha is in the kitchen, and Mary is at Jesus' feet. And so Martha, Scripture tells us that she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She's in the kitchen. Mary is with Jesus. At Jesus' feet has some significance because that's where disciples would learn. They would learn at a rabbi's feet. Remember, Scripture says that Paul learned under Gamaliel. King James says, at the feet of Gamaliel. And so literally and figuratively, students of a teacher would learn at their feet. And that would be the place where future teachers would learn. Future leaders would learn. Typically, men would be at the feet of rabbis, not women. But Mary was. And this was a little unusual. But Martha is in the kitchen. And Martha is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. How much food do you think Martha was making? Who's at the house? Jesus and his disciples, probably the 12. So you have Jesus and the 12, and maybe more are at the house. You know, how much do the 12 eat? I mean, are those guys big eaters? They're all men. If you're making food for a dozen or more people, how much food do you need? Martha's got quite a chore on her hands, and she's working at it. And you also have to factor in, if you were Martha, what would your concern be for this meal? Would there be enough, first of all? Let's not run out. I mean, of all things, this is Jesus the Messiah in our home. Let's not run out of food. Secondly, we'd like the food to be good. So it's kind of important that it all comes off right. You know, we might want it all to be hot when we serve it. But Martha's in the kitchen, and she's worried about this, and she's worried about that. And no doubt she's thinking, I still have to do this, I still have to do that. This is not done. And where's Mary? Where's Mary? You know, the sister Mary. She's always like this. This is just like her. You can just hear Martha saying. And so Martha goes back into where Jesus is. And who does she talk to? She talks to Jesus. Martha's reached her breaking point. You know what it's like for stress to build, and you get stressed and you get stressed and you get stressed, and then you reach your breaking point. I've lost it. It's over. And Martha's reached her breaking point, and she barrels into what I picture in my mind as the living room, and she barrels in there where Jesus and the disciples are, probably gathered around Jesus, and most certainly Mary at his feet. And she says to Jesus, "Do you not care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Don't you care? Tell her to come in here and help me." And it gives you flashbacks to times in our life where we're stressed and we're worried and we're panicky. And we wonder, why doesn't God care? God, do you not care that I have this going on in my life? And I've just asked for you to do A, B, and C. I mean, it's not too complicated. And Jesus answers Martha, and we don't have tone. There's no parentheses that says Jesus said in a soft tone or Jesus said in a sarcastic tone. We don't know, but I picture the fact that he repeated her name, I picture Jesus saying in a calm tone. Martha is frantic. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." How many things were important here? I mean, Martha's worried about, no doubt, enough food. No doubt, do I have this? Do we have enough, plates? Do we have... Nobody's made the drinks yet. Martha's worried about, Scripture says, all the things, all the preparations that had to be made. And Jesus says, there's one thing important here. In other words, in 100 years, Martha, there's only one thing that's going to matter about this night. In 100 years, it's not going to matter, Martha, if we had enough food or if the food was as good as you wanted it to be. In 100 years, it's not going to matter. Jesus didn't say that, but that's his point. Because in 100 years, there's only one thing going to matter, and that is the spiritual things. And so Jesus says, reading on in verse 42, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." I think surely you may be able to relate to Mary. We can probably all relate to Mary and Martha at different times in our life, but I think it's real easy to relate to Martha. You know, the rat race. We have to do this, we have to do that. Don't we have calendars? Don't you have a calendar? You have a day timer? You have a chore list, to-do list? Don't you have lists? I mean, some of you are very, very organized in your lists. I admire you. Some of you just have pieces of paper with things to do and are everywhere. But we all have lists, things we have to do, things that have to get done, things in our life that worry us. At your house right now, what needs to be done? I mean, my backyard is a wreck. It's been too hot, but now it's not been too hot. But I find out it being too hot's not the real reason why my backyard's a wreck. You know? I just don't want to go work on it. It needs help. Flower beds need help. I have a shower that needs to be fixed. I have a garage that needs to be cleaned. Attic needs to be cleaned. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Bills need to be organized. These things need to be done. All the things that we worry about. Don't we relate to Martha? This and this and this. But let me ask you this. Did Martha have a heart for God? Absolutely. She's hosting Jesus in her home, and she wants to offer Jesus her best. She's the hostess. As the hostess, with God Himself in your home, you probably want to do well. You want the evening to go well. Was Martha a servant? Absolutely. And so it's a reminder, this story is a reminder that we can have a servant heart and we can want to give God our best, but it's so easy to get so focused on the things that in 100 years are not going to matter. And so how do we stay focused on what really is important? And I want to start with what I think is a little odd for this to be a way to stay focused on what's important. But look at Psalm 119:36. So number one is have a heart check. And we'll just have three ways that we can stay focused on what's really important. Number one is have a heart check. Psalm 119:36 says, "Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." I love that verse. It kind of covers, I would think it would hit most all of us, because part of what it says is turn my heart away from selfish gain. And so if we get caught up in chasing financial things, this verse speaks to that, selfish gain. If we get caught up in things that aren't financial, but they just take a lot of time and energy, too much time and energy, Scripture says worthless things. Doesn't say they're wrong. It just says, in other words, in 100 years, they're not going to matter. It's not wrong to do them, but I have to have them in perspective. I have to have things priority. So where is my heart? And the answer is, God, help me. Help me to have my heart where it needs to be. Help me to care most about the things that really matter. And help me to care less about things that don't matter. Where are my passions? Do I dream about earthly things or do I dream about kingdom things? Do we dream about earthly things or do we dream about kingdom things? It's not wrong to dream about earthly things, but how do those dreams, how does my heart compare when I'm thinking about earthly things? I remember a time when I wanted to be married. And I remember a time when I wanted to have children. And I remember a time when I wanted to have my own home. Earthly things. Not wrong. But where does my heart compare when I dream about those versus when I dream about kingdom things? Do I obsess about earthly things or do I obsess about kingdom things? Isn't this a struggle? Anyone else struggling with this? Yesterday, there was a ball game that I wanted to watch and did. It's exciting. It's fun. And sometimes not so fun. But the unknown is part of what's fun. It's easy to get caught up in things. It's easy to feel the spirit of competition. Let me plant a thought and you do some homework. The idea of being competitive and having to win, it's not a Jesus concept. It's not a Bible concept. Not a godly concept. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying Scripture doesn't say, go win. Except fighting the devil. So think about that sometime. It's so easy to get caught up in this game I'm watching and vicariously feel some of the things you would feel if you were playing that game. Just as a fan. I mean, why do the fans go so crazy? And it's because emotionally we're dialed into this game. Yesterday, there were a couple things that happened in my day. And one, I was very excited about. And the other, I wasn't as much excited as it was important and meaningful, let's just say. And the other thing was, At one point during the day, I reminded Abby, let's do our daily Bible reading. I'm her reminder. Others, they remind themselves. And so we stop, we turn the TV off, we do our reading. One thing I did yesterday was more exciting, but another thing was much more meaningful and important. Because in 100 years, who won a game on September the 12th? What was yesterday? September 12th in Knoxville, Tennessee, between two colleges, matters not at all in 100 years. And even now, games are games, but the important things in our life. So having a heart check, where is my heart? I think this is a continual struggle. Where's my heart? What do I really care about? Do I recognize what really, really matters? Number two, plan. Well, Jesus said, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So it's a, you can find out where your heart is by where we spend our money, where we spend our time. Number two, plan the important things. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? And he said the pagans run after these things. These were the things that people worried about in the first century. It's a third world country. I mean, what you eat and what you drink and what you wear, some of that is necessity and some of it is just what their life was focused on. But they ran after those things. And Jesus said, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. We're doing something after worship this morning. We're having a kickoff meeting for LTC this year. LTC is kingdom. LTC is about the kingdom. It's about our children training. Leadership training for Christ is what it stands for. And it's about our children training for the kingdom. Training to serve and to be soldiers in God's army. There are a lot of things that the kids can do with LTC. They can hone their skills or learn and practice everything from Bible Bowl, Bible quiz, which involves a lot of Bible study and text, drama, song leading. I mean, there's a long, long list of things that kids can do pertaining to LTC. I want to remind us that will matter in 100 years. That's kingdom. Those are eternal things. And I want to encourage us as coaches of our kids doing these things. If I'm my child's coach in song leading or drama or Bible Bowl, it may not be as exciting as coaching them in t-ball or in football or in a sport where we get caught up in competition. It may not be as exciting, and I'm not saying stop doing one and only do the other. I'm saying one is much more important than the other. Because one will matter in 100 years. LTC is not about competition. It's not about winning. It's about doing your best training to become a soldier of God in the kingdom. And there are times that we will tell our kids that if a child is involved in, they've joined a sport, they're in t-ball, and halfway through the season, they come to mom and dad and say, I don't like this anymore. I want to quit. For whatever reason, typically as parents, we encourage our kid or even tell our kid, you made a commitment to this team, we're not quitting, right? The team is counting on you. I want to encourage you to get involved with LTC and do the same with LTC. This is something we've started. As parents, we have to be excited about LTC because our kids may wane. They may lose interest. They may lose their excitement about it. But number two, point number two is plan the important things. We plan vacations. We plan retirements. We plan projects. We plan activities. Do we plan serving God? Do we plan training our children to be soldiers in the kingdom? And so in order for us to stay focused on what's really important, we need to plan. We need to produce. Jesus talked in this parable of the seed. It's something that hasn't really stood out to me in the past. But he's talking about seed, and we have seed scattered in different places, and some falls on among the thorns, and it doesn't really grow well because the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth, they make it unfruitful. They keep it distracted, would be a good word. But look at what Jesus says about the seed that does do well. He says, it produces a crop. It produces a crop. As Christians, our life is not just about living right, it's about doing. We're to be doers. We're to be servants. We're to be reaching out to our friends and neighbors who are lost and trying to invite them or trying to help them get closer with God. We're to produce. We're not just to worship. We're not just to live holy. We're to produce fruit. And so I remind us of that. In 100 years, the story I started with about come out and fight like a man, that's one of David Almy's. I call them Davidisms. You know, David would come in my office, and he would always tell me things like, he gave another one of David's was, if at first you don't succeed, keep on sucking till you do suck seed. Write that down and figure that out later. As one of David's, he has a lot of them. There are a lot of Davidisms. But one of my favorites is he would be talking about something that was worrying him. And then he would, in walking out and leaving, he'd say, oh, well, in 100 years, who's going to care? In 100 years, who's going to care? And I want us to remember at times when we're frantic, when we're worried, when we're stressed, it helps to put things in perspective and to say, you know, I'm really frustrated about this right now, but in 100 years, is it going to matter? And most times it won't. If it will matter in 100 years, then maybe it's worth worrying about. I'm driving home from the hospital the other day and coming from St. John's, coming down the hill on 21st Street, beside the park that's there, there's road construction. Everything's tore up, and I see a man in a wheelchair. And I see there's no sidewalks. He's about to cross the road. He's kind of stopped, and I can tell he doesn't know what to do. There are no sidewalks, and it looks to me like he's thinking, maybe I should go back up, go a different way. But anyway, he crosses the traffic, and traffic's down to one lane. He crosses, this car in front of me stops. And a road construction worker is helping him cross. And at first I thought they're stopping to just make sure he crosses safely. But then they pull into a driveway. And it's clear immediately they're wanting to load up the wheelchair and help give this man a ride to wherever he wants to go. I drive on a little further. There's a Quick Trip on 21st and Southwest Boulevard. Beside the Quick Trip, I see someone else in a wheelchair coming down the sidewalk. And there's a temporary diamond-shaped sign about some event. And it's on the sidewalk. And this person in their motorized cart, they're trying to move this sign because their cart won't go in the grass. They can't. They're stuck. And they're trying to move this sign. And in front of me, someone stops in the lane and gets out and helps move a sign. In 100 years, those things matter, don't they? Love God, love your neighbor. In 100 years, certain things matter. I think it was last weekend, Keith and Janine went over to the Hollands and helped them to close their pool down. Something with Mark's health right now is one of the things that the Hollands need help with. I didn't find that out from Keith. Because when you do things for others, you're not supposed to let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. The Hollands mentioned that. Serving one another. In 100 years, those things matter. Norma comes up the other day and loads up the wheelchair to go to Kathy Anderson's house to take her to lunch. Let's just get out of the house. Let's go eat. Kathy's has a long recovery. It's tough. And Norma is serving someone else. In 100 years, that matters. It's so easy to be focused on so many things. We're going to have a song and an invitation. And I want to mention, if there's something that is not right with you and God, if there's something you need to do to be right with God, and it may be that baptism has been something, like Steve mentioned, that you just never have. You've been walking with God, but you've just never taken that. It's one of those things that's easy to put off. I want to say two things. One, let's just do it today. Let's just wash some sins away today. And two is, sometimes people don't want to do that in front of a large crowd. And biblically, there's nothing in here that says you have to do it in front of everybody that we can get in this building. And it's common to wait a little bit, and we do it Sunday afternoon, early afternoon, mid-afternoon. So the second thing is, if that's you, why don't you come talk to me before you leave and say, Elliot, I want to do it today. Let's do it today. If there's something you need to do that will matter in 100 years, let's do it today. We're going to stand with me, and we're going to sing this song of encouragement. If you have a need, please come.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share. When His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care.